for saying that, because it changed the way I deal with people. Now I take that thing that Chuck said about look for ways to bless people, and I apply that to the people that hurt me. Don't just ask God to bless them. You look for some way that you can bless them. You know what it does? First thing that it does is it completely eradicates bitterness. It's like laser surgery for bitterness. It wipes it out. It is not natural to me. It is natural to Jesus. And so, I mean, if I have to ask him to do this more than on any other subject, that's okay. He knows how to do it. He's good at it. But that is the emphasis in this verse 15. Don't retaliate. Instead, don't just be kind in your attitude, but do something kind. Is that convicting? Wow. I'll tell you something that has happened to me. I wound up loving people that just irritated me. Because when they would irritate me, I would try to find a way to do something nice for them. And go figure, I changed. Now, they may not change immediately. Here's the deal. If we're only doing it so people are will change, then that's phony baloney motives. Jesus was kind to people that persecuted him because that's the way he is. So I find that very, very challenging. And by the way, that really gives pleasure to our Heavenly Father. So let's look at verse 16, 17, and 18. Like I said, each one of these little sentences, they're a sermon all in themselves. By the way, little word of warning. If you say, Jesus, I want to be like this, then he's going to send somebody in your life that's going to push those buttons and give you a chance to practice. And you know what? Like I said, I thank God for that. Now, I have seen it change people. I truly have. But the most amazing thing is I've seen it change me. I've seen people that carry grudges and build grudges for decades. Church people. And I think of how it breaks God's heart. I think of how unlike Jesus it is. Once in a while, I see people, I've seen people do this to me when I know that I've hurt them and they've been kind and they've done something to bless me. And boy, nobody's a better example of that than Jesus himself and how he's treated me. Verse 16, this is God's will for you, what he desires from his heart for you, that you be always joyful. I think that all my Pentecostal friends that I grew up with misunderstand this. It doesn't. The word joy is not the same as being giddy with happiness. Joy is a much deeper thing. George MacDonald had the best definition of this biblical word for joy. He said it's peace dancing in your heart. Isn't that great? It's not dependent on circumstances. That's why I can be told to always be joyful, because it doesn't depend on circumstances at all. A couple of scriptures I want to give you to put down, because I have had to rearrange my thinking on this. The only kind of joy I used to know was the kind of joy when everything was going great. And, you know, to be honest with you, that's Pavlovian, isn't it? I mean, that's the rat pushing the buzzer that gives him the electrical charge that makes him feel good. And so I'm no better than a rat if I'm joyful then. But when the Bible talked about the kind of joy that doesn't depend on its circumstances, I didn't even know what that meant. But I realized some of it was my thinking, because it is fruit of the Holy Spirit. Two scriptures I wanted to share with you. One is Psalm 16 that says, in his presence is fullness of joy. That's another one of those scriptures that I read at one time, and it hit me between the eyes, and I thought, wait, stop the music. I'm always in his presence, aren't I? Absolutely. Then why is my joy not always full? And I think I understand for me the reason for that is that I'm not always consciously aware of his presence. Hebrews 13:5, he said, I'll never leave you, ever. But sometimes I don't feel like he's there. And that's the problem, my emotions. I was talking with somebody about this. It might have been Fred. That, you know, you wake up in the morning with a feeling of dread and nothing's even happened yet. It's just the enemy messing with my emotions. George MacDonald said that feelings are not scientific instruments. So I've had to change my thinking. If I realize I'm always with him, he's never going to leave me, and in his presence is fullness of joy, then if I'm not feeling that peace dancing in my heart, that deep, subtle thing, not the giddy, surfacey, happy, hyper thing, but that abiding joy, if I'm not sensing that, it's because I'm not accessing it. I have it because I have him. I have found some things that help me. Worship music helps me. It doesn't matter whether it's happy worship music or slower worship. It doesn't even matter. It's about whether it reminds me of Jesus and that he's with me and what he's like. And all of a sudden, there's that river of joy in my heart. God's desire is that in all the no matter what of my life, that I have that joy, that I access that joy. That's what he wants. Doesn't mean if I'm not accessing it that he's mad at me or that he hates me, but I am being ripped off. Pray continually. There's two ways you can look at that. Pray without ceasing, the King James Bible says. The Amplified Bible says pray perseveringly. But there are two ways you can apply what it means to pray continually. Number one is just, it means persevere, don't give up. If you're normal, if you have to pray about something and it hasn't happened for a long period of time, most of the reason why people stop praying is they think it's not working. So we just stop. And Jesus had an awful lot to say about perseverance. I have this little saying in my head. I don't know if I heard it from somebody or if the Lord gave it to me, but I hang on to it. It brings things in perspective. And that is that prayer is the very best thing I can do in any trouble. My trouble or somebody else's trouble that I care about. But it is the one thing that feels like I'm not doing anything the longer I do it. If I'm praying and it doesn't change, I start immediately thinking it's not working, so I stop. And that's just, so praying, continually praying without ceasing means just don't give up, don't stop. It may be doing more good than we think. And the second application of praying continually means to be in constant conversation and fellowship with the Lord. You ever met somebody that does that all the time? Well, I do that all the time now, but I didn't know how to do that all the time. I was all confused about postures and terminology and all of the legalistic aspects of it in the church that I grew up with. But I started hanging around with the family, and that talked to Jesus just like he was standing there about everything. Well, he was standing there. And they just incorporated that into their lives. Pastor Chuck said it this way. He said, praying without ceasing means that I am deliberately making God my constant companion. I like to think of it this way. When you spend a whole entire day, I was thinking about Shabbats that we've taken together, and we're guys, And guys are notorious for not spilling their guts all over the place to other guys. But I've noticed that when you're with somebody that you love, there's this conversation that just goes on all day long. Even if neither one of you is talking, you're still engaged with each other. Sometimes one person's talking. Sometimes the other person's talking. Sometimes there's an interchange. That conversation, if you don't know that and have that with the Lord, oh, I pray that you will. Because my understanding of the scripture is that really makes God happy. When I am constantly talking to him, he loves that. Give thanks in all circumstances, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks. Not for everything, but in everything. What does the Amplified Bible say? In everything, no matter the circumstances, be thankful and give thanks. So, inquiring minds want to know, give thanks for what? What if everything stinks? See, this is the church that I was raised in was, you know, it was the same denomination that the positive confession stuff came out of, and all of this bogus stuff about I'm not sick. I remember one time talking with this guy, and I walked into his house, woe is me, and I said, you know, I don't feel well. And he said, now, Bob, be positive. And I said, I'm positive I don't feel well. You know what? There's a lot of cruddy stuff in the world. And I read this book that said, oh, you're supposed to thank God for everything. And then my best friend burned to death in his house. And then I heard about a little three-year-old girl that was raped by a neighbor. How am I supposed to thank God for that? That's very stupid and very naive, and I think it's cruel to tell somebody they're supposed to thank God for those things. That is not what Scripture says. It says, in all circumstances, give thanks. And I want to say, for what? Well, I can tell you a couple of things that we can always be thankful for no matter what happens. And the first one is that he said he'd never leave us. So whatever the devil throws at me, I know most Christians in America were such weaklings that the minute any difficulty comes, all our focus is get it out of here, get it out of here, get it out of here. I love that verse that you shared the other day from Proverbs that talked about suffering and pain being a chisel and pruning in my life when I have the right perspective. I don't have to try to pray them away. I do want them to go away, but I would rather God did the good thing that he wants to do in my life. But I do know this. He said he would never leave me. I can always thank him for that. No matter what, that's going to be true. And the second thing that I can always thank him for in every circumstance is Romans 8:28. Because when it says God is working all things together for good, that means all things. They don't even have to be good things. I really recoiled against the Pollyanna people that told me I had to somehow see this horrible tragedy that happened as good. And I said, you know, it's not good. I'd be lying if I said it's good. But I do know this, God's not done with me. And whether it's good or not, he promised he is going to work that together. The whole picture for my good. He promised it. And he's never lied. So I can be thankful in everything. Let me just read this so we get it on the tape. I've got 5 more minutes, don't I? Out of the Amplified Bible. Now also we beseech you, verse 12, brethren, get to know those who labor among you. Recognize them for what they are. Acknowledge and appreciate and respect them all. Your leaders who are over you in the Lord, and those who warn and kindly reprove and exhort you. And hold them in very high and most affectionate esteem, in intelligent and sympathetic appreciation of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we earnestly beseech you, brethren, admonish, warn, and seriously advise those who are out of line, the loafers, the disorderly, the unruly. Encourage the timid and faint-hearted. Help and give your support to the weak souls. And be very patient with everybody, always keeping your temper. See that none of you repays another with evil for evil, but always aim to show kindness and seek to do good to one another and to everybody. Be happy in your faith and rejoice, and be glad-hearted continually, always. Be unceasing in prayer, praying perseveringly. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. Good stuff, huh? Here's why this is burning a hole in my heart. Because I hardly ever see this in action. And I hate to say it, but often in many churches that I have been in, people act exactly the opposite of this. And so as a result, the world doesn't know what Jesus is like. Because all they have to go by is the people that wear Jesus' name. So Lord, help us. I love how he is willing to be this way to me. I can recognize what it's like when I've been a lazy person and a faint-hearted person and a weak person, and I've been a button pusher, and I know I've challenged his fuse length. I see how he treats me and enables me to be that way. By the way, he's living in us. He knows how to do this. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, my desire, I hope, is the same one that yours is that everyone in our body would hear these words, that we would find ourselves being this kind of a church. I pray for all my brothers and sisters, Lord, that we would take your word seriously, that we would glow in the darkness. And I rejoice that I have people in my life that live this way. It characterizes them. It's so easy to see what you're like just by watching them. And Lord, I want that to be me as well. You know what we're like. You know us, warts and all. You love us too much to leave us that way. So thank you for the words that challenge us in this, Lord. Thank you that your commands are your enablings, and that you are going to make us this way because it's the way you are. So, Lord, I pray that we would take these things seriously, especially when we're going to go right out tomorrow and run into people that are going to give us opportunities to exercise all of this. I ask, Lord, that you'd preserve these words so that the rest of the body can hear them. I pray, Lord, that you would continue your work in me so that any way you slice me, any hour of the day, they would see Jesus. That's my prayer. And I pray in his name. Amen.